Good evening and welcome to a one-night stand with the big bands. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a one-night stand brought to you in part by Moriarty Brothers, 315 Center Street in Manchester, Connecticut's oldest Lincoln Mercury dealer, now in their 28th year of continuing excellence in sales and service. Called Silhouetted in the Moonlight, done by Glenn Miller and the orchestra. I've mentioned before in the promotional announcements that I hope you've heard that on our one-night stand tonight, instead of the regularly scheduled guest, Billy Butterfield, we have five eminently more famous gentlemen appearing on the show. Everybody's nodding in here agreeing with me. Representing the Glenn Miller Society. Is it called Society, Howard?
That's right, Arne.
Yeah. Howard Holcomb, a good friend for many years, long-standing fellow sports follower. From the Connecticut Traditional Jazz Club, Vice President Pete Campbell is here. Pete is kind of substituting tonight. Dottie Winslow is going to come in and beautify our panel, which I think could desperately use it, to be honest. Dottie, unfortunately, was called away because of the death in her family, so we're happy to have Pete here with us. From the Hartford Jazz Society, George Malcolm Smith.
Oh, you got it.
Let me explain for the uninitiated here. George Malcolm hyphen Smith, for years did a jazz show here on TIC, and they always punctuated the hyphen with that little beep. And the beep came along tonight courtesy of Bob Harrington, who's with us representing the Coon Sanders Nighthawks. And Al Gentile represents the Connecticut Big Band Society. Now, because we opened with a Glenn Miller recording, let's begin our conversation with Howard Holcomb, who I think is one of the world's great Glenn Miller fans.
Gee, I wish that were true, Arnie, but up until the time I got involved with the Glenn Miller Society and found out about other people in the world, I thought maybe you were partly right, but the gentleman over in Tarrytown, New York, who initiated me more or less into it, he is really a Glenn Miller fan. He has radio tapes and records and just everything imaginable. So maybe on Riverside Drive in Vernon, I'm one of the great Glenn Miller fans, but I'm not sure after that.
Maybe even all of Vernon.
Well, maybe even all of Vernon, right, yes.
Why did you develop a particular interest in Glenn Miller of all the big bands?
Well, I'm not 100% sure, Arnie. Glenn Miller was the first big band I ever saw at the late lamented State here in Hartford. But somehow or other, I just liked the band even then, and of course, I guess I got caught up in the charisma of the lost leader and all that, and just as I grew older and had a few bucks, I began to pick up records, and then it sort of became a little more of a hobby, and I just concentrated on the Miller Band because I thought, in my opinion, it was the best of the big bands.
Mm-hmm. But of course,
I'm waiting to get shot down on
that. Yeah, watch yourself.
His death, of course, influenced all of us about Glenn Miller's work, and the big question is, would he be more popular today had he lived, or is he more popular because he died?
It's certainly a good question, and I don't feel qualified to answer it. I guess in George Simon's book, he seemed to think that he would have not stayed with all the things that he was doing back in the 40s. He would have kept up with the modern trend in music, with still keeping a Miller sound, but it's hard to say, Arne. There is a Glenn Miller Society. I don't know how many more societies there are for big bands alone. One big band. Maybe that has something to do with the fact that
that's a worldwide organization.
Yes, it was started in England, and that's where the base is now. And actually, there's not an awful lot of participation here in the United States. There is a newsletter put out six times a year, a 12-pager, by the way, and a fairly professional job done there in England. But they do have concerts over there. In fact, the next one, I made a couple of notes here. There was one November 3rd, and there will be another one coming December 15th. And those concerts are Glenn Miller music. People over there who have tapes, records, or whatever, mm-hmm. And they go to great lengths to any connection with the Glenn Miller Orchestra whatsoever. The last concert they had in September included some records by Dinah Shore because she once appeared with the Army Air Force Band. And that was her only connection with Glenn Miller as far as I know or they said. And but she was part and parcel of it at that time, mm-hmm. so she was included.
That AAF band was really super.
Arnie, I had one comment on that record that we played. You and I go through this every once in a while, and I keep telling you, don't keep playing In the Mood and Little Brown Jug because everybody's heard them. And the reason you didn't ask, but I'll tell you anyway, I picked Silhouetted in the Moonlight was because that was a record made by the band that didn't make it. The band that folded on January 2nd, 1938 at, believe it or not, the Ritz Ballroom in Bridgeport. And that was the Glenn Miller Band that never went anywhere.
I guess he was pretty discouraged, too, at that point.
He was. It didn't take long, though. He started rehearsing again in April of that year, and that was the band that we remember.
The one that made it.
That did make it, yes.
Does it have a Miller sound that you can identify?
A little bit. It has that high clarinet lead, but it doesn't have the full sax.
Who's the clarinet?
I don't remember. I was going to make notes. It might have been, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Arnold, if I may comment
there. Al Gentile.
With the resurgence of the big bands... out at Lake Compounds. It was the Glenn Miller band that outdrew all of them in 72. We had people from as far away as New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. It was really standing in line, you know, to come to listen to a band without the leader.
And, Who was leading it then?
Buddy DeFranco.
Yeah, great clarinetist.
Yeah.
The greatest.
Yeah. We had people begging to get in. We wanted to shut off ticket sales, and people said they were willing to stand. There weren't any more chairs, and so on, and just packed them in. They had had four other great bands prior to the Miller Band, and this one topped them all.
That's encouraging for those of us who like the big band sounds. By the way, Howard, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to give an address or a telephone number where people can get some information about the Glenn Miller Society. I'm going to do that with each of the groups tonight so that the people who are listening, if they have a particular interest in one of these areas or all of them, will be able to contact the right people. First, we are very proud and happy to welcome a brand new sponsor to our program tonight, our good friends over at Moriarty Brothers in Manchester. The name Mercury itself stands for quality, beauty, and automotive excellence. It has for many years. But the name can mean even more when you put Moriarty Brothers behind it. Moriarty has been a leading Lincoln Mercury dealer for many years. They know that the dealer is as important as the car. So when you buy a Mercury from Moriarty, you know you're getting all that Mercury has to offer, plus the service you want and need, and a reputation for reliability you can believe in. Stop in at Moriarty Brothers soon and see the complete 1975 Mercury line, the luxuriously rich Marquis Brougham, the equally beautiful Marquis, the Monterey, the incredibly sleek Montego, and the all-new addition to the Mercury line, the Mercury Monarch. They're all at Moriarty Brothers, every model, every color, every price range. Whether you want small car convenience, medium car pricing, or big car comfort, Moriarty has it. So visit them soon and see all that's new and exciting for 75 from Lincoln Mercury. That's Moriarty Brothers, 315 Center Street in Manchester, Connecticut's oldest Lincoln Mercury dealer. An address for the Glenn Miller Society.
Well, Arne, I guess it's got to be mine because there is no specific organization in Connecticut, but I certainly would be more than happy to... pass the word along. My name is Howard Holcomb, 54 Riverside Drive in Vernon, Connecticut. And anybody who wants to take time to write, and the phone number is 875-8957. And I'm sure would be more than happy to, pass the word along and get the people headed in the right direction.
Very good. Let's talk about jazz of a different sort here and introduce Pete Campbell, who's the vice president of the Connecticut Traditional Jazz Club. Pete, how old an organization is that?
Well, it's 10 years, really. Our first concerts under the name were held in 1964. The first major concert, really, was January 65, George Lewis Band from New Orleans.
Oh, George Lewis. Somebody called on Mike Lyon today and asked me for information about George Lewis, and I'm ashamed to admit before this...
Is he still alive?
No, he died.
I had suspected, but
clarinetist from New Orleans, from the Preservation Hall Band, wasn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
Fine. Where was I? In January 1965. And the club had a little rough going. It was reorganized, sort of. The people putting on the concerts before asked a group of us to come help organize the club in September of 65. It was incorporated in February of 66, and really the organization as it is today stems from the fall of 1965.
How large an organization was it at the very beginning?
It's remained pretty constant in size. At the very beginning, it was small. We maybe had 50 members and 100 members. But for a good 7 or 8 years now, it's been between 240 and 280 members.
What's your average attendance at your events?
Average attendance is probably in the neighborhood of around 350 mm-hmm. to 400.
What's the biggest crowd you ever had? And I think I was there that night.
You were. That was the night that Jimmy McPartland and Eddie Condon and Gene Krupa played for us at the Holiday Inn, December 1969.
Yeah, that was a great crowd and a swinging time. I don't think anybody was disappointed, really. Just to see Krupa, who could excite a crowd just by raising a drumstick, it was really amazing.
That was the first time Gene had played publicly, I think, in maybe 3 or 4 years,
yes.
Or maybe longer.
Yeah, he'd been having some physical problems. Yeah. He had told me he was recovering from a back injury or ailment, and he said he took a Brody on his sidewalk out in Yonkers in the wintertime. That was his word. And he aggravated, and he was laid up again for a while.
Yeah, that was a good group.
Yeah, he sure did help draw some people. We're going to ask you to give us an address or a telephone number, and before we do that, we also have a show coming up very soon that we can talk about. But even before that one comes up, there's another show coming up that I think many of you are going to be interested in. The famed Preservation Hall Jazz Band brings the joyous sound of New Orleans jazz to the Bushnell Memorial for one night only, Sunday, November 17th. All members of the band pioneer the New Orleans jazz movement and maintain the musicianship, joy, and spontaneity of the jazz style. It was brought together from African dances, Creole quadrilles, funeral marches, Mardi Gras parades, and unlimited jam sessions. The program is put together spontaneously in response to the mood of the audience and includes many favorites of jazz enthusiasts as well as original creations. It's one to just sit back and enjoy. It's an experience. Don't miss the New Orleans Preservation Hall Jazz Band at the Bushnell Memorial, Sunday, November 17th at 8 p.m. For ticket information and reservations, phone the Bushnell box office at 246-6807. That's 246-6807. I'm not asking you to comment in regard to our commercial, Pete, but that is one heck of a group, isn't it?
That is a good group, yeah. Of course, I think the average age of that band is in the middle 70s,
yes.
Or maybe greater than that. And in recent years, and I say quite recent, in the last really 3 years, 3 or 4 years, many of the older pioneers have died off. The Billy and Dee Dee Pierce, George Lewis, one of the Humphrey brothers, which is a famous New Orleans family. So there aren't really many left that have been playing that kind of music for as long as they've been playing it. Yeah. And really, the ones that come along later do not play with the same kind of style and ensemble and drive that
it's
those do.
A rare opportunity, and I hope that people will take advantage of it. If anybody's interested in joining the Connecticut Traditional Jazz Club, I know you have a post office box in Wethersfield.
That's P.O. Box 30, Wethersfield, 06109. And Dottie Winslow is our secretary, and her telephone number is 529-4845. And, of course, they can call me in Woodbury, Connecticut, which is 263-3750. And we have 3 or 4 classes of membership. We have an annual club record, which is part of the membership dues, sort of an inducement to keep everybody with us, and a potpourri of the previous season. And we have a good time.
May I point out, these are all nonprofit organizations, incidentally. We're not trying to get anybody to join anything to line anyone's pocket by any means.
Aren't you ever right?
what did you pick up, Pete, to play for us tonight?
Well, I brought one of our club records. In fact, this is the brand new one, which is, I hope at this moment, on the presses. This is the test pressing. This is a vocal by Natalie Lamb, who's a wonderful vocalist in the style of Bessie Smith and the old-style blues singers. And the band is a New York outfit, semi-professional musicians in that they have pardon the phrase, they're gainfully employed during the day, most of them. The leader is Bob Thompson, who's the professor in charge of the psychology department at Barnard College in New York. Natalie is his wife, who is a teacher in the school systems in New Jersey. And this one is called My Sweetie Went Away. I don't really know the origin. It's not a Bessie Smith or a Ma Rainey number. It's probably an old ballad of some sort. But it's a good group. It's a traditional type group and a good solid lead.
I got a lovely tale to tell to you, though it's no affair of mine, about a gal named Sue, her sweet man too. They were fighting all the time. Sue came home one afternoon and found an empty dining room without a word. Her turtle dove had flown. She began to moan. My sweetie went away, but he didn't say where. He didn't say when. He didn't say why. Oh, bid me goodbye. I think I'm going to die. I know he loves another one, but he didn't say who. He didn't say what. He didn't say which. His new mama's got that took my sweetie from me. I'm like a little lost sheep, and I can't sleep, but I keep trying to forget my trifling sweetie. Left his mama all alone. I found my sweetie went away, but he didn't say where. He didn't say when. He didn't say why. Oh, bid me goodbye. Why don't you hurry home?
Natalie Lamb, the Red Onion Band, My Sweetie Went Away. And Pete, this is your next group coming in for your upcoming show, isn't it?
Yes, this is the beginning of our 1975 season on November 30th at the Holiday Inn in Meriden. This same group will be playing with one change in the lineup on the trombone, but other than that, the same group.
This is a test record.
This is the test pressing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in just a moment we'll talk about the Hartford Jazz Society. Moriarty Brothers of Manchester has a sleek new car that could surpass all other precision-sized cars in 75 for luxury and performance. The Mercury Monarch, a car that's designed with care to give you economical gas mileage for today's driving, yet is engineered to give you the smooth, comfortable, and quiet ride that a larger car offers. The precision-sized Monarch four-door is over 1 foot shorter than last year's average mid-sized car, For your ease and maneuverability around tight turns, tangled traffic, and small parking places, yet Monarch has more headroom front and rear, is roomy enough to accommodate 5 adults in comfort, and has trunk space for 7 pieces of family luggage, plus a golf bag with room left over. The new Mercury Monarch was designed to fit the car to the people, not to fit the people to the car. And now you can see the Mercury Monarch at Moriarty Brothers. So visit them soon and see all the outstanding features of the new precision-sized car for 75. That's Mercury Monarch at Moriarty Brothers, 315 Center Street in Manchester, Connecticut's oldest Lincoln Mercury dealer. And now, George Malcolm Smith.
Where's that whistle?
George,
we'll give Bob Herring another chance. George Malcolm Smith.
You know how that happened?
No, I'd like to know.
All right, I'll tell you. Gene O'Neill was the announcer, and of course the O'Neill has the O, between the O and the N is an apostrophe. And in my name, between the Smith and the Malcolm, or vice versa, is a hyphen. So Gene said we ought to punctuate that, so I gave him a whistle for the O, Neil, and he gave me the horn for the Malcolm Smith, which I'm sure is all very interesting, but beside the point.
How long have you been with the Hartford Jazz Society, George? And I would imagine right from the beginning.
Yes, from the beginning there was a nucleus of about 20 of us, and we're in our 14th year.
Mm-hmm. How many shows have you brought in? Do you try to go half a dozen a year, four a year?
No, we have, during the autumn, winter, and spring, we try to make it the first Sunday of the month. Mm-hmm. And then in between, we will have concerts.
Tell us about some of the outstanding people who have made appearances here.
We've had Earl Father Hines, Clark Terry, Toshiko, Randy Weston, Herbie Hancock, Billy Harper we had last week, Marion McPartland, from the earliest jazz right up to the moment.
You have a great artist coming up, as a matter of fact, in December.
Shirley Scott. Yeah. Shirley Scott. Not too well known, but she's played with about everybody.
Oh, yeah, marvelous musician. The Hartford Jazz Society, what sort of jazz are you interested in?
I think jazz past and present and presumably the future. Mm-hmm. It's pretty broad. We like to call ourselves mainstreamers because we like all kinds. We're not exactly moldy figs, and yet we're not avant-garde.
Did you ever go for the bop, personally? Did you like bop music?
Not at first, but we weren't hearing really fine bop until Gillespie and Charlie Parker and Al Haig got into it. We heard a lot of it around town, but it was all imitations of the figures and the riffs that they would hear on records. We became used to it, and unknown to millions of people in the United States of America, they're listening to a lot of bop right on their television sets now as music for background.
Mm-hmm. I guess with some of these, and I can't think of any of the names, but mostly these detective shows and so on. Quite a bit of it.
Interesting thing, Lalo Schifrin, Quincy Jones, yeah. Johnny Mandel. People are listening to jazz music and don't know it. I hate jazz. The fools will sit there in front of these detective stories and hear it all night long.
What are your dues? What does it cost somebody to belong to the Hartford Jazz Society?
At the moment, I think it's $3, but you have the privilege of coming in. Julie says 5.
10.
Julie says 10.
Do I hear 15?
Are we bidding for less?
It's $10 then.
That helps the defray.
Can I join for 3?
X that. You have the privilege of coming in at a reduced rate, of course, mm-hmm. all concerts.
What are the responsibilities of membership?
Principally to pay the dues and be sure to come to hear all the concerts. Mm-hmm.
Of course, there is an extra charge when the concerts are on.
We're rather proud. We have done some things besides all our concerts. We have put on concerts for the public schools. We're doing shows annually for the Summers State Prison. And we have an annual scholarship that we award for Berkeley and Boston every year. Hmm. So your $10 isn't thrown away.
Yeah, it goes for a very good cause. We're going to hear a great artist. Is this someone who's appeared locally for you?
Oscar well, you Peterson? Asked me to bring along something. I brought along a record that features two of our favorite guests, Clark Terry, the trumpeter and flugelhorn player, and Oscar Peterson. Mm-hmm. I think Clark Terry, who was probably the last of the really distinctive Duke Ellington horn men left, and then Oscar Peterson, who was probably the biggest thing since Art Tatum. So we have a record in which both Clark Terry and Oscar Peterson can be heard.
Okay.
And it is called I Want a Little Girl. And the reason we have to have I Want a Little Girl is that Clark has never been able to get out of that hall any time he's played for us without playing I Want a Little Girl. And it is amusing.
Just before we hear it, can I remind everybody that you are listening to The Sound of Service for Southern New England. This is WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut. The program is a one-night stand with the big bands being brought to you by Moriarty Brothers, Connecticut's oldest Lincoln Mercury dealer in Manchester, and by the Bushnell Memorial, where you can see the New Orleans Preservation Hall Jazz Band this Sunday.
Thank you.
That's some great music.
He's a humorist and a showman and a beautiful guy.
George, would you give us an address or a telephone number for the Hartford Jazz Society?
Yes, if everyone home has his pencil and paper, it's 242-6886, and the address is 63 Lebanon Street in Hartford.
Okay, in just a moment, we'll move on and meet the Big Band Society, the Connecticut Big Band Society, and the person of Al Gentile. The famed Preservation Hall Jazz Band brings the joyous sound of New Orleans jazz to the Bushnell Memorial for one night only this Sunday. All members of the band pioneered the New Orleans jazz movement and maintained the musicianship, joy, and spontaneity of the jazz style. It was brought together from African dances, Creole quadrilles, funeral marches, Mardi Gras parades, and unlimited jam sessions. The program is put together spontaneously in response to the mood of the audience and includes many favorites of jazz enthusiasts as well as original creations. It's one to just sit back and enjoy. Don't miss the New Orleans Preservation Hall Jazz Band at the Bushnell Memorial this coming Sunday, November 17th at 8 p.m. For ticket information and reservations, phone the Bushnell box office at 246-6807. That's 246-6807. And now, a very famous name in this area, Al Gentile, who's been a leader of a band in the Hartford area for how many years now, Al? You hesitate.
Watch it, Al.
You want to take the fifth here?
No. I'm looking forward in a few years to having been in it 50 years.
Beautiful.
And I'm really excited about it. And I have the same enthusiasm. I was telling Bob Harrington, I have the same enthusiasm for the big band sounds that I had in high school, and I'd like to believe that I was in it from the beginning. In fact, the first band in high school that I remember, that is, it was a community group, had two alto saxophones, and the tenor sax was just coming in. Fellas like Bunny Burns and so on.
And a C melody. There must have been
a C melody and soprano, but we didn't use that. In fact, in our orchestra, if I may talk about it, in order to have a bass player, we used a man on tuba who was probably 25 or 30 years our senior. And then eventually, people started playing string bass, and we brought it in. So I saw the big bands merge from the traditional small groups to wherever, you know, the movement started, and the big bands veritably became the Pied Pipers for romance dance music, is what I call it.
We've heard so much, we get into the subject on Mike Lyon every now and then about the dances that you played for, and I guess it was Cole Park?
Cole Park. That has been probably the most exciting time of my life, because at Cole Park here in Hartford, they had an open-air dance pavilion with a beautiful shell, and on a Saturday night, we were there five nights a week, but on a Saturday night, there'd be as many as 2,200 people without any problems whatsoever. Yeah. And on a Friday night, 1,100 people. And in those days, I had, I didn't come to talk about my band, incidentally, but we carried five saxophones, eight brass, four rhythm. In fact, one of the fellows that spent some time with us had come off of Horace Heights Band. The fellow played the electric
harmonium,
whatever. Yes, the same as Alvino Ray plays. I can't think of the word. And we always carried a male and female singer in the tradition of the big band. And it was a sad day when they tore that board down at the park. I have felt that even today it might be able to make a comeback.
This was really a hotbed of people were around, and I envy you that.
There was all kinds of music. You remember the Bal Tabrin?
Right.
Their band was recording for Victor. Mm-hmm. Not a very good band. Yerkes Jazzarimba Orchestra. But there they were. And how about McAnally was all over town.
I heard on Mike Lyon several people call in about McAnally.
Right.
And I remember, and I didn't hear anybody say that they called it McAnally Singing Orchestra when he made the first Victor
record.
One of
the singers is Fred Wade.
That is Fred.
Yes.
Fred is one fellow that I remember because he was production manager of this station when I came here in 1965. Matter of fact, I played a record that where he sang a number.
Mary Madcaps.
Yes.
Oh, you mean McAnally?
With McAnally, but I remember the Mary Madcaps.
McAnally's pianist was, of course, Frankie Carl.
Mm-hmm.
His bass player was a man by the name of Joe Carbonero. He went on to play with some of the big bands.
Al, yours is the youngest of the organizations, I believe, that we have represented here tonight. I can remember when yours was formed about
four years old. It was probably six of us that started it, and we called a meeting in New Britain, and probably 30 people showed up the first night. And we've been growing. We lose a few, and we gain a few. And we have people as far as Maryland that just join and send in their dues and want us to send out the bulletin that we send out once a month. We have people from all walks of life. As I imagine you have too, attorneys, vice president of a bank, sales managers, some of the big outfits, and so on and so forth. Some are avid record collectors. Frankly, and you know, I'd like to say this, many people have the idea we're a group composed of band leaders, and I'd have to tell you this, that we don't have very many band leaders, and we don't have very many musicians.
Well, sometimes the jazz lovers will know more about musicians and the music
right.
and the history of the bands than musicians themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. How does one go about joining your group, Al?
Well, you can call 223-5724 in New Britain, or write to the Connecticut Big Band Society at 25 Arch Street, New Britain. They can call Bud Reed in North Branford, who is the newly elected president. But I think the easiest thing probably is to drop a line either at 25 Arch Street, New Britain. Incidentally, we have a Hartford number now, too, or really a Newington number, but Hartford Exchange, 666-6655.
It's easy enough to remember.
Well, that's right. A full house.
Yeah. All right, and we've asked Al to pick out a record to play for us tonight. We'll have that in just a moment. The name Mercury itself stands for quality, beauty, and automotive excellence. It has for many years. But the name can mean even more when you put Moriarty Brothers behind it. Moriarty has been a leading Lincoln Mercury dealer for many years. They know that the dealer is as important as the car. So, when you buy a Mercury from Moriarty, you know you're getting all that Mercury has to offer, plus the service you want and need, and a reputation for reliability you can believe in. Stop in at Moriarty Brothers soon and see the complete 1975 Mercury line, the luxuriously rich Marquis Brougham, the equally beautiful Marquis, the Monterey, the incredibly sleek Montego, and the all-new addition to the Mercury line, the Mercury Monarch. They're all at Moriarty Brothers, every model, every color, every price range. Whether you want small car convenience, medium car pricing, or big car comfort, Moriarty has it. So visit them soon and see all that's new and exciting for 75 from Lincoln Mercury. That's Moriarty Brothers, 315 Center Street in Manchester, Connecticut's oldest Lincoln Mercury dealer. And now, Al Gentile, what did you pick out for us to hear tonight?
I picked out a Glenn Gray recording of All the World is Waiting for the Sunrise, and one of the writers was Gene Lockhart, the late actor. It's been a favorite of mine for a long time.
Casaloma.
Mm.
Also happens to be your band's theme song, doesn't
right.
it?
Right.
Uh-huh. I think, well, it's a nice tie-in, and we're looking forward to hearing the Casaloma Orchestra and All the World is Waiting for the Sunrise.
Thank you. the thrush on high, his sleepy mate is calling, and my heart is calling
You don't sing that number with your band, do you, Al? That was The World is Waiting for... All the World is Waiting for the Sunrise with Glenn Gray. I neglected to ask what the dues are for the Connecticut Big Band
Society. The dues are $5 a year.
It's a bargain, believe me. And there are a great many folks. How many members do you have now?
We're in the neighborhood of 240. And incidentally, with our membership, any of the events that we sponsor, there's a discount for the members that are attending. And some of the area promoters, when they have an event, they give us a discount.
If I can mention the name Guy Lombardo before this distinguished panel, I think that's probably...
yeah. I felt that one, too.
That was one of your most successful bands that you brought in.
Yes, you dropped in on us last year for a few moments. We sold out at the Hartford Hilton, and we're bringing them back on December 16th. The proceeds will go for the Monsignor Graylish Scholarship Fund, for Knights of Columbus, there from the Kensington Berlin area. And we're delighted to have them back because people had a New Year's Eve party much before New Year's with Guy Lombardo.
Yeah. Incidentally, just let me jump in here for a minute. I don't know if you know this, Al. Guy Lombardo was on Jack O'Brien's program in New York one day, and he said that he had tried unsuccessfully for 3 years to get a network show, and it was a Coon Sanders Orchestra that gave him his first shot on the air.
That kind of leads us right into what we'll be talking about. That was Bob Harrington, and Coon Sanders, Nighthawks, is next on our agenda in a moment. The famed Preservation Hall Jazz Band brings the joyous sound of New Orleans jazz to the Bushnell Memorial for one night only, Sunday, November 17th. All members of the band pioneered the New Orleans jazz movement and maintained the musicianship, joy, and spontaneity of the jazz style. It was brought together from African dances, Creole quadrilles, funeral marches, Mardi Gras parades, and unlimited jam sessions. The program is put together spontaneously in response to the mood of the audience and includes many favorites of jazz enthusiasts as well as original creations. It's one to just sit back and enjoy. Don't miss the New Orleans Preservation Hall Jazz Band at the Bushnell Memorial this Sunday at 8 p.m. For ticket information and reservations, phone the Bushnell box office at 246-6807. That's 246-6807. Well, they say that you save the best for last. Now, I don't know if I can go along with that completely, it's always a pleasure to see Bob Harrington. And, Bob, you have been with the Coon Sanders Nighthawks from the beginning of the Connecticut chapter.
Yeah, I started it 6 years ago.
He is the Coon Sanders.
Yes, I'll have to go along with that.
I'd like to clear something up quickly. The very name itself is so confusing. People think that Coon Sanders is a one person. In 1919... there's a fellow out in Kansas City, he's pitching for the Kansas City Royals, name of Joe Sanders.
The old left-hander.
27 strikeouts in a row, and the Yankees wanted him, but he liked the piano better. One day in a music shop, he met a young dental student by the name of Carlton Coon. And Carlton Coon was glad to play drums and pull teeth, and so they said, let's start a little band. They started out with a five-piece outfit in the, I think, Muleback Hotel in Kansas City. They were the first band, incidentally, to broadcast. and they broadcast from 11:30 to 12. And one of the members in the band said, "Do you mean that people actually stay up until this time to hear us? They must be Nighthawks." Hence the name Nighthawks.
I've never heard that.
Their fame spread, and by 1926, they were in the famed Black Hawk Restaurant in Chicago. They were the first band to broadcast coast to coast, Coon Sanders Orchestra, over a station WGN. And I guess every one of us that remembers the Roaring Twenties remembers 1928 and 29, when we stay up and turn on our old Majestic radios and get the Coon Sanders Orchestra.
Yeah.
Because everything else was pretty small, see, at that time. Now, George Malcolm Smith is an old buddy, and many times he's often, and quite rightly, accused me of trying to set music back 40 or 50 years. Now, that's true, and maybe it is. It's music is a personal thing. It's what appeals to you. I just happen to like some of the things that went on as a young lad. Now, the club itself is made up of the hardcore, the boys that are always there at our meetings at the last Sunday of every month, is Norb Sagert, he of the hot violin, Art Dubrow, one of the fine big band piano players in the area, Lyman Harding Jr., in sort of a junior Gene Krupa on the drums, Bill Greeno on ragtime piano, and he's becoming famous all over again with his rebirth of ragtime. And the spark plug of the outfit, old Dougie Watson on guitar. Owen McNally, music critic for the Hartford Courant, said of Dougie that he's Django Reinhardt all over again, and I guess he is.
Yeah.
Well, we get together the last Sunday of every month, and it's a catch-as-catch-can thing. Sometimes we have three drummers, sometimes two. Sometimes five piano players, and sometimes seven bass players. We start off with linger a while, and pretty soon a trombonist will walk downstairs, and then another trumpet player. The only thing we've not had is a steam organ and a harp. We've had everything. We've had everything else, but now, as the record that I picked, I tried to pick something that was not necessarily jazz, but typical of the Roaring Twenties. Something that signified what was the music like, really and truly, in the Roaring Twenties. So it came to mind that even though it's a bit vaudeville-y, a little bit hammy, it's a lot of fun. It's a pure fun record, and it's called Flaming Mamie.
And while we listen to that, Bob, if you would, how would people get in touch with you about this Coon Sanders Nighthawks
Club? Oh, the easiest thing in the world, just write Bob Harrington, care of the Bristol Press, Bristol, Connecticut. That's all they've got to do. Just drop me a postal card.
Thank you all for joining us. Our special thanks to Howard Holcomb of the Glenn Miller Society, Pete Campbell of the Connecticut Traditional Jazz Club, George Malcolm Smith of the Hartford Jazz Society, Al Gentile of the Connecticut Big Band Society, and Bob Harrington of the Coon Sanders Nighthawks. Tonight's one-night stand was brought to you by Moriarty Brothers, Connecticut's oldest Lincoln Mercury dealer in Manchester, and by the Bushnell Memorial, where you can see the New Orleans Preservation Hall Jazz Band this Sunday. We'll see you in a month on December 14th with Zoot Sims on a one-night stand with the big band. This is the Sound of Service for Southern New England, WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut.